honest, when I've thought of Dad over the years since he passed away and was buried, I thought, if you could open up that casket, what would you be looking at inside of there now? But you know, the next time I see Dad, it's not even going to be that old frail body that went into that casket. But he's going to have a new body. Glorified and strong. And you and I, God has made it possible that all who believe on Him and look for His appearing, He said, I'll come. I'll come again and receive you unto me, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a wonderful thought. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I don't care how young you are, you might listen to the words of the devil that you're young. You got a long life ahead of you. You might look at this old gray-headed man standing here in front of you and think, well, he's so old, I've got a long ways before I get that old. You have no promise of living as long as I have. You know, there's a lot of people I've met in my lifetime that's dead and gone. Now, that was younger than I was. Laura back here mentioned one of the flowers being here to Jason. You know, he was a lot younger than me. Wasn't expected to live to be a teenager, and he lived to be, what was it, 19 or 20? God blessed him with a longer life than the doctors thought, and I'm so thankful for that, because only the last year or so that Jason was alive, was he a Christian? But there's coming a time that I'll get to see Jason again, and not that little frail body that we got to know here. But I'm going to see one that's perfect. You and I, it's wonderful to know that the infirmities that we have here in this life, the afflictions, will all be gone when Christ comes back. Though we may have been planted in a grave, we're going to raise forth from there with none of the infirmities that we went into that grave with. Or if we're standing here, and the Lord comes back, I don't care what it is about our body that don't work, our legs, our arms, arthritis, how it might have our joints stiffened up or whatever. When the Lord appears in that moment, all of those things are going to leave behind, because only perfection is going into that holy city. And you and I today, it's something that can be obtained. If we're waiting to see some doctor that he might cure the problems that we have, we may live to be greatly disappointed. But there won't be anybody disappointed on that day when Christ appears after those that believe upon it. We're going to go forth at the most wildest expectation. It's going to be so far surpassed. It was waiting for that it's going to be something. We'll have to shout about for all of eternity. You and I don't know what Christ looked like. I don't even know what it was to walk in the presence of the Son of God here on this earth. But I thank God, He said, there's coming a time I can be in His presence for all of eternity. And you and I, we need to get the things of this world out of our eyes and start looking to the other side. You know, I mentioned it a couple of times here today. It seems like the church is brighter today than it's been. Well, you know, when the Lord comes back and we see Christ, that's going to be something that's going to be far brighter than anything we've ever looked at. You know, you'll find any scientist, any doctor that treats the eyes will tell you never walk outside and look straight at the sun because of the brightness of it
And because of the rays from it, it can damage your eyes. But do you know the Bible speaks about Christ coming, shining above the brightness of that sun. And we can look right into the face of God. It won't be damaged to death. Why? Because we're going to have a new body that will be shining with the glory of God to where this world, they wouldn't be able to stand to look upon that. You know, you'll find back in the Bible, there was men that looked upon the angels. And just because of the brightness and the fierceness of the angel, they fell before. Well, all those that go to heaven is going to be shining in the brightness of that also. If you'd like to read with us, I'm going to read just very few verses of scripture found in St. Mark, the 16th chapter. And listen close to this scripture. We'll start at the 6th verse. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And here you'll find Peter walked with Christ. Peter was willing to die for Christ. But then when it come the time that Christ was really being tried, Peter was so ashamed that he denied him 3 times. And then here in this scripture, he says, "But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter." He didn't include Peter in as one of the disciples. You'll find another place Christ told Peter, he said, "When thou art converted, you strengthen the brethren." You and I today, I'm afraid a lot of people, they know the things of God. They know a whole lot about God. But yet they're not really one of God's disciples. Why? Because they're not teaching from the heart. They're not living their life from the very heart about what God really wants them to be. And here he said, "Go tell the disciples and Peter that he's not here, that he's risen." He wanted Peter to know that if you denied her, just as I said you would 3 times, that you denied me. He afterward, when he went, you know, I'm afraid the biggest majority of people would seek to protect their life here. But the Bible says, in other words, if you seek to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you're willing, in other words, to lose your life for me, you'll gain life everlasting. Me and you today, are we willing to really lay our life on the line? Christ come not just to teach a better way. Christ come not just to tell man what God requires. Christ come to fulfill the word of God and the plan of salvation, even unto the death of the cross. You and I today, we hear in the news where somebody is going to be executed and it's lethal injection. And if they all they first go to sleep. salvation truly cost us, God hasn't. God hadn't forgot what He paid for it. And because we haven't had to pay that much, just denying a few things of this world, denying a few things that old self wants, people says, that's too much. God didn't deny nothing to bring the plan of salvation. He gave it all. You and I today, we need to remember that as we look here in the Bible, Peter, he denied Christ three times. And it would just have been as easy here to have spoken and said, go tell the disciples he's risen. But go tell the disciples and Peter. He knew Peter was still hanging around with the disciples, but he wasn't included in the bunch because he hadn't proved his faith strong enough. You and I today, has our faith really been put to the test? Have we been tried? Have you ever stood in a crowd where they was talking about some of these fanatical right-wing Christians and you just sort of slip away, get off somewhere or another so you didn't have to be there afraid somebody might say, well, don't you go to a spiritual church? Don't you go to this or that that would be connected with being part of that? You and I, you know, granted today, most of what calls themselves Christians does not come up to the standard that the Bible says is what a Christian is. Me and you, if we want to make heaven our home, we better. Don't be caught in that crowd that's denying the things of God. You know, you'll find the ones that went right in with Christ, they weren't there being beaten. Christ is the one that come to pay that price. Though they didn't deny Him, they weren't being beaten. Me and you today, it may be that for us to own Christ as our Savior, it may require some persecution here in this life, but nothing compared to the glory that awaits us when this life is over. Paul, in all that he went through, he said all that suffering, it was nothing compared to what awaits him. Me and you today, we need to read these things and say, Lord, all that they went through for that, if it's going to be so great for them, the little that I've had to endure and suffer, what kind of reward am I getting? Because he said, all that believe in Christ is going to get that same thing. Paul, as he was teaching Timothy, what was laid up for him, but it's not just for him. It's for all the believers. That included me and you in there. You know, in the Bible where it talks about Christ praying for the disciples and his followers, that included me and you in there. When the devil says nobody cares, tell him, yes, somebody cares because Christ prayed for you. Christ sits on the right hand of the Father today to make intercession for you. What is that? That's a prayer being prayed direct to the Father from the same beside the throne saying, Father, when I killed another, he called the folded because they have a problem. Let's go down and solve it for. Oh, I'm so thankful. My God is not dead. He is alive today. And he's sitting there waiting for me and you to call upon him and ask the impossible. And he'll do it. You think you have friends and loved ones that's got a heart that can't be touched, ears that won't hear? Pray to the God that can change things. And He can bring them down to their knees to where they'll be looking up and calling upon Him. And they'll be wanting to get in touch with that one that they know that loves the Lord. That one that they know, that knows what it is to pray a prayer to God and get an answer. You know, look back in the Bible at the men of God that could pray. It worked just great miracles through their prayers. It was because they had faith to believe God for the impossible. You know, the children of Israel being fed there in the wilderness, I'll guarantee you, our president and about every person that's in Congress and Senate, you know, if they had 1 million people, and they was more than 1 million there, but if they had 1 million people, that a famine that hit an area where there was no food and no water in that area, and the bridge is out, they'd say, oh, can we get enough helicopters together to fly it in? They would start trying to think of all the ways that they could try and feed this mass number of people. Oh, what a great undertaking it is. God there in the middle of the desert supplied water. Not only for the people, but for all of their livestock. I wonder how they found grass in the desert to feed all that livestock for all that period of time. And God supplied them eat for it. They could go out and gather up other manna from heaven that God had supplied. But they'll find on Friday it comes double the fortune because they wasn't any there for them on Saturday. It wasn't keep any other day. But when it comes to that day, it would keep for them today. Why ain't that wonderful? We got a God that does things different than anybody else. He has his own rules to go by. And you and I, we come and follow him. We can find it applies to us. And when he says, I'm coming to receive you unto me, that where I am there you may be also. I'm not looking, as a lot of the world says, about heaven. I don't want to go there. I'd get tired of just sitting around doing nothing. Well, you know, I've been in real spiritual services where the world might have looked at being time wasted, but I found it was the most wonderful time I ever spent on the face of the earth. You and I, what would it be like to be in just the most wonderful service you've ever been in your life here for all of eternity? That'd be great, wouldn't it? But when we enter in heaven, that would seem like a dry service in comparison to what waits us there. You and I, this old body can't stand what God's got for us there. That's why we're going to get a new body. This old body can't shout loud enough, can't jump high enough, don't have the strength. It just, this body could not stand the Spirit of God upon it like that and live. But isn't it wonderful to know he's going to give us one that can. Each and every one of us, we're serving, if we're a born-again Christian, we're serving a true and a living God. And it's not something we have to wonder about when we get there. Are we going to see a man or a woman sitting upon the throne? We're going to see God the Father and God the Son there upon the throne. And he said, you and I can come and sit down with him in his throne. Isn't that wonderful? Each and every one of us. You know, I've thought about what awaits a Christian person. In my mind, I've got sort of a picture of what it must look like. Carol and me, as we was going home from here at church yesterday, when we come and put the flowers in the church and cleaned, we was going home and she's talking about all how pretty it was. She loved this time of the year when everything was so pretty and green before the weeds grew up and made it look ugly. Well, you know, I've got a picture of heaven. So pretty and green. Such beautiful flowers. Most of the people here, I guess, has been to Longwood Gardens.
And I used to love to go through that place in the springtime when all the azaleas is in bloom and all the flowers, the way that they would bloom. And then when you get in an area where you had flowers that had a fragrance, oh, how wonderful it smelled. Well, you and I, Longwood's garden can't hold a light to what just 10 feet of inside the holy city would look like. You and I, oh, just to walk around heaven, that holy city, as big as it's going to be, to walk around that and see all that there is there to see would take more than a lifetime here. But for the first, I don't know how long a time, because it's not going to be more in hours or days or even years. But for a long period, we can enjoy just being at the throne. Just look at a moment and enjoy being there in the Spirit of God. And then go and enjoy the whole city and never get beyond the Spirit of God. You and I today, God's got a promise waiting for you that He died to fulfill to you and I. Let's not let it be something that we let slip from our hands, but grasp a hold of it, that we might not be referred to as one that walked away or one that lost faith, but one that held on to the things of God and was included in the children of God. Each and every one of us. God's not changing. The world is, but God isn't. And if we want something that we can rely on and depend upon, take a hold of the things of the Lord. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So me and you, if, you know, I'm one of them that don't care a whole lot for change. Granted, some things it's changed is better than what the old things used to be. But you know, as I've just recently went and bought a tiller, I've come to find out they ain't making things better. And you know, when I got to talking to a dealer that's been dealing in tillers since back, I don't know, a long time. And I went and mentioned to him, he said, oh, said that's the way they was built 30 years ago. And I said, well, I thought they were supposed to be making things better. He said, no. He said, we're a throwaway society today. He said, they make them, they figure they'll last 3 years, and you throw it away and get a new one. He said, nobody repairs anything, and they don't build it to last. But that you pay for it like it was, but it's not. Well, you and I, God did not make a plan of salvation that was throwaway. He made it to last. It'll stand the test of time. It can't be improved upon. You can't, no matter what you do to it, you can't make it one bit better than the plan that God started out with, because it was the best. You know what they say now when you say, well, what they had then, that was a good idea. Why don't they still make it? Oh, it would cost too much today. They won't build it that way because it would cost too much. I said, well, is it worth paying for it if it's going to hold up? Well, nobody's going to want to pay that much. It would cost too much. Just buy you a cheap one and in 2 or 3 years throw it away. But the cheap ones, the way they make them, won't do what the old ones would because they don't run at the right speeds. You and I, it makes no difference what we face here in this life. The plan of salvation is molded and created just perfect for all situations. Isn't that wonderful? For all situations. The doctor can come in and say, you've got incurable cancer. There is nothing we can do for you. If you know God, you can turn to Him and He say, that's all right. I'm the one that made that body. There ain't a cell in it that I don't know what to do to correct you. I can heal you. We can put our faith and trust in you and it can be done. Or if God does not choose to heal you, He says, I've got a better place prepared for you. You can use this that's come your way for the glory of God. You can teach your people, even facing the hour of death, I've got a God that's real. Each one of us, no matter what we face in this life, the plan of salvation is there. It don't change and walk off and leave us and say, oh, you're facing something that we didn't plan on. You're facing something that there's no answer to. God's got the answer to everything. And He's already solved the solution for any problem that we've got. We just go and ask Him. And we'll find it's already been worked out. He knows exactly what we need. You and I today. Back there in the desert. When they were walking out there, they couldn't see any water. All they could see was rod. God knew what was in the rod. He knew He was able to bring the water for it. You and I today. We can look at life and see none of our problems. But God said, I've got the answer. The solution is here. God of all me. I'm just waiting to prove myself unto you that I'm still here and able. And if we'll believe, God will do even beyond our wildest expectations. The mother that the doctor says, you can't have any children. There's evidence in the Bible that God can change things. There have been people that was barren even beyond the years of being able to bear children. And then God said, you're going to have a child. What Sarah do? She sort of laughed. Because she knew. Yeah. No, put it bluntly, she had went beyond the stages of being able to have a child. She wasn't menstruating. But God said, you're going to have it. And she did. You and I, God don't work things the way that man thinks a lot of times. God works things the way He wants it to be. And He's just waiting for man to take Him at His word. When the devil tells you your sin is so great that all the bad things about you, if we just made a list, the bad things might stand this tall and the good things might be way down here. And the devil will tell you, there's no hope for you. God says, lean on me. I'm the one that's got the answer. I can put that new heart within you. I can take all of that bad and I can wash it away. My blood is sufficient to cleanse from all sin. The devil says, oh no, it can't. But God said, yes, it can. That that was shed there on Calvary was not done in vain. You know, they say it took one drop of blood. No, it took every drop of blood that Christ had to cleanse you from your sin. You can't wash a person in one drop. It's impossible. But when God bathes you in the blood of His Son, you come forth white as snow, pure and clean. That's what each and every one of us needs. You might think, I'm worse than anybody that's ever lived. If that's what the devil's telling you, hey, maybe he's telling you the truth for a change. But that's the wonderful thing about it. God said He can take the worst and He can make the best out of it. The very worst, He can make you shine better than a brand new penny. Each and every one of us, God's got the answer. Let's ask Him to come into our heart and our life and fill us with His Holy Spirit. Why don't we get some song to sing? Are you one
that believes the Word of God and that He died for you? Or do you think that must have been for somebody else? Are you one of those that thinks, well, what God did for that pastor was something really special? Well, just between me and you, I got a mom that lives 1,000 and some miles from here, and I believe she would tell you the same thing. Out of the 4 children that her and Dad had, I was the meanest one. I was the only one that become a preacher. But I was the meanest one. And I'll tell you that. So if God can take that and turn it around, He can turn you around. When He makes a new creature out of us, we're no longer the same. That's just like me and you being a mongrel and God taking us and making a purebred out of us. We become heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. That's special. I beg you, don't listen to the lies of the devil when he says you're not worth anything. Maybe you're not now, but you can be. You can be. While we stand and sing, do you want to be? Do you want to turn your life over to the one who can make something wonderful with it? It's your choice today. What is your desire from God? Are you content to go on in the same old thing as you are? Or do you want to be that new person in Christ Jesus? Raised to a new life. What a wonderful day to start a new life with God. Let that old man lay down and die today that you might raise a new life with Christ Jesus. Here on this day that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Thank you.